Well, my story starts in the early 90s, and my life took a dramatic change in direction. I sold my house, and I sold most of my possessions, and I planned a bicycle trip from Canada to South America. And I chose a bicycle because I think it's just the right speed for the senses. You know, it's slow enough where you can really feel everything, and it's fast enough where you can actually go somewhere. And one of my goals for the trip was to really immerse myself in the culture as I was going along. So it seemed like the perfect way to go. So after a little more than a year of zigzagging all the way through Latin America, I arrived at the border of Ecuador. And they gave me a 6-month tourist visa in my passport. And I continued right down the Andes. And the Andes, they're grueling for cycling. You spend a day or a couple days climbing, and then you drop down and you do it again. And so I found myself in the south of Ecuador, literally at a crossroads. And if I continued south, I would reach the border of Peru and continue down the Andes. And I desperately needed rest. And if I went to the east, I would drop down this mountain. When I say mountain, it's like a day of climbing. So I dropped down, but there was a little town I had been hearing about called Vilcabamba. And it was intriguing. Vilcabamba was known as the Valley of Longevity because there's a lot of people who live to be over 100 years old there. And so I decided finally that I would drop down and spend a week or so resting there. And I checked into the local hostel and was walking around the town, and it was really nice. It was peaceful. It sits at about 1,500 meters, and in the Andes, that means it's like spring year-round. The climate is perfect. And so, I mean, up above the mountains, they rise up out of this town, and there's a national park above it, and it's a cloud forest, and there's 5 rivers that come down. The valley is mostly dry, but it's irrigated, so everything grows there. So I really felt like I made the right choice to rest here. And the next day, I was just hanging out in the hostel, and this French artist shows up. And she starts selling her jewelry, and we start chatting, and I discover that she loves to cook. And she discovers that I love to eat. Well, if you've ever been on a bike for an extended time, you know how much you love food. So she invited me up to her house on the hill. So I loaded her up on the back rack of my bike, and she sat side saddle, and I pedaled up the hill. And her house was just a basic house, concrete floors, whitewashed walls. It was sit in the middle of a sugarcane field, and there was fruit trees all around it. And about halfway around the house, there was a big deck with hammocks hanging, and just the most incredible view. She had a dog named Chapo and a donkey and a horse with no ears. So over the next 3 days, she cooked and we ate and we hung out and she worked. And I decided I wanted to hang out for a little bit longer. So I did the walk of shame and went down to the hostel and picked up the rest of my belongings, brought it back up to the house on the hill. And I spent about a week there, and I'm hanging in the hammock thinking, this is great. I mean, this is paradise. So I decided I was going to stay a bit longer, but I needed to do something. So I decided to make money, that is. So I decided to buy mountain bikes and start mountain bike tours in the area. So I spent the next little while scouting out roads and different trails in the area, and there really weren't great maps. I mean, this is before Google Maps. In fact, it was before Al Gore invented the internet. So eventually I acquired these maps and I drew out some routes on it. And the next thing I did is I made posters. At the bottom of the poster, it said mountain bike tours, $4 a day. Guided mountain bike tours, $5 a day. So I essentially was worth $1 a day. But just to put this in perspective, I could rent those bikes 3 days a week and I could pay for the rent and have a little beer money. So I lived like a king on top of that hill. And life went on like this for months. I mean, I would go down into town to find out who wanted to ride. Some days I'd go mountain biking. Other days I would just hang out in the hammock or read or, you know, hike until my 6-month visa was about to expire. Well, my French companion said, it's no problem. There's an immigration office in Loja. Just go there, they'll give you an extension. And sure enough, you know, I went there, and 1 month was easy. But what he told me was, after the 30 days, you have to leave the country. So I came back to Vilcabamba all stressed out, and she said, look, we're in Ecuador. All you have to do is tell a story, make an excuse, they'll buy it, it's okay. So I decided to stay for another month. At the end of that month, I went back to the immigration office, and he said, you can't come back here. That's, you know, you're not supposed to be back here. And I said, I know, my friend is sick. I tried to leave, and I can't right now until she's better. I probably don't even need 30 days, just whatever you can give me. So he gave me another stamp, a 30-day stamp, and I was good to go. But I was stressed. And he said, don't come back. So I went back, and I was really stressing. And this time, my French companion sat me down, and she said, look, there's a few ways you can stay. If you sink some money in a business, you can stay, or you can marry a local, or you can go to Colombia, get a new passport, and come back in and get another 6-month visa. Well, this last option sounded awesome, but how do I get a new passport? And she looked at me like I was a child, like I was naive, and she said, you're going to have to lose it. And at first, it didn't really click. And finally, I got it, and it's like, I don't think I can do that. I need to think about this. So that night, I was in bed thinking, you know, I love it here. I'd love to stay. This is like my Shangri-La. It is paradise for me. But on the other hand, what happens if something goes wrong? I mean, I could end up in a Colombian prison. And so I woke up the next morning and made a decision. I wanted to stay. So I hopped on a bus, and 24 hours later, I was checking into a hotel in the center of Bogota, Colombia. And the whole time on that bus, I was thinking, what am I going to tell them? I mean, did I drop my passport down a toilet? Was it stolen? I really didn't know. I mean, I'm Canadian, so I'm a rule follower. And this was a really difficult situation for me. So I really didn't have it figured out, but eventually I made it across town to the Canadian embassy, and I explained that I didn't have a passport. And so they said, we can help you, but what you need is a police report, so you're going to have to come back with that. And so I got back on the bus and headed back towards the center. And just as we were coming into the city, and there was this huge explosion, just boom, and everyone emptied off the bus to see what was going on. And we made it a few blocks where the explosion happened. And it was a car bomb that went off. And this is the time when Escobar was, he was terrorizing the country and setting off car bombs and other kind of violence in the country. And this car bomb had decimated this whole block. It brought out all the glass from the high rises, and there were people cut, and there was gore and blood. It was the most horrific thing I'd ever seen in my life. And I walked away from that scene. I had to settle myself down, and I finally thought, there's no way anybody's going to believe me if I drop my passport in a toilet. It has to be on par with this kind of chaos. So the next day, I made it to the police station. I made my report and made up a bunch of stories and lies about how I was held up by gunpoint and my passport was stolen along with everything that I owned. And I took that police report back over to the Canadian embassy. I filled out all the papers, and 2 days later, I had a new passport. And then they warned me. They said, we really don't think it's safe for you to be in Colombia at this time. And I said, that's a good idea. I think I'm going to go to Ecuador. And so I went to Ecuador. I got to the border, and they gave me a fresh 6-month stamp in my passport. I was so happy, just so happy. I got back to Vilcabamba, and I was skipping down the driveway, showing my French companion my passport and telling her what happened. And she replied, I'm leaving with an Argentinian boy. Well, I was devastated at first, but then the more I sat with it, I realized what I really wanted was to stay in Vilcabamba and ride mountain bikes. That was it for me. So that's what I did. I stayed with Chapo and the donkey and the horse with no ears. And at this time, I started doing multi-day trips. So we would go up the pass, up into the cloud forest, and then drop down on the other side into the Amazon basin. And slowly it would get warmer as we dropped down, and there would be more water and waterfalls. It would get greener, and the vegetation was huge. The trips were spectacular, just world-class trips. And on one trip, this fiery, red-headed Italian girl showed up. And we were pedaling along, and she starts talking and telling me how she likes to cook. And my ears perked right up. My mouth started watering, thinking of Italian cooking. And I invited her up to the house on the hill. And she came, and she cooked, and we ate. And we rode bikes, and we hiked, and we soaked in the rivers. And life went on like this for months until that six-month mark came along again. My visa was about to expire, so the first month was easy. I went in, I got my first extension, and again, I was told, don't come back. This is a one-time thing. You have 30 days, then you need to leave. No problem. And then I showed up again, but this time, remembering how difficult it was for the second go-around, I bought the best bottle of rum I could find. And I didn't really know if this is the right way to do things. But when I put it on his desk, and the way he grabbed it and pulled it and slid it behind his desk, I knew it was wrong. But it worked. It worked. I got another stamp in my passport, but a stern warning. This is it. You can't come back. You must leave. Yes, sir. And so I went back and I told my Italian companion, I have to leave. I only have 30 days. And she broke down in tears. You can't leave. I have six weeks. My flight is in 6 weeks back to Italy. You just stay until I have to go. And I don't know why I listen, but I found myself in that immigration office for a third month in a row. When I walked in there, I knew it was trouble. In my imagination, he stood about 10 feet tall. His eyes were wild like a horse. He looked down at me and he boomed, I've given you two extensions, and now you're standing in this office looking for a third. We just can't do this. I had to bring my best lie forward. My girlfriend is pregnant. She's having complications. She's in the hospital. We might lose the baby. I just need a little more time until she's stable. There was silence. He reached over and he pulled my passport over and he stamped it and he said, you need to leave now. So I got out of that office quietly. I went back to Vilcabamba and I started downsizing to the point where I could fit things back on my bike. We went around and we said goodbye to our friends and our community. We loaded everything up on top of the bus and went to Quito. We had a few days to rest there before her flight. And when her plane took off, I was standing there alone with tears streaming down my face, wondering, you know, what direction do I go? I just don't know what to do. And I finally bought a plane ticket back home. And as I sat on that plane, I thought, you know, I really did have a good go in Vilcabamba. It was a sweet part of life as long as it lasted. And I learned a couple things, too, about chasing those visas. Number one is, like, I really learned how to lie. I'm not really proud of it, and I'm really cutting back, I promise. But the thing I learned most by chasing those visas when there's something I'm really passionate about that I feel is going to make me happier, bring more happiness into my life, I'll do anything to just have that little piece. Thank you.